If there's anyone still that doesn't know me, I'm Will Godfrey, otherwise known as the Yashimi Man, or sometimes as Folderol, which I often use as a handle online. And what I want to talk about this year is Yashimi from the point of view of a musician, and how you can set Yashimi up to be as comfortable and as easy to use as possible. And the first bit I want to cover, and I say I can't hide my notes anymore now, which is could be a bit embarrassing, is let's look at the situation where you've been working all night long, you've got your absolute favourite piece of music and it's really fine, but it's now 4 o'clock in the morning, the dawn's just breaking, you think you really ought to go to bed. So you do that, but you really can't sleep, so you get up again and you go, I'll just have another little go with this. So you thought, we'll start up and we'll carry on where we were yesterday. So we'll load up the fire that we were using, what we thought we were using, and we'll load up Rose Garden as well, and we'll load the appropriate file for that as well. And where's that recent? And the one we were using, well, it's that one, wasn't it? Of course it was. So then you start playing, and no, that's not right. What's going on here? Hang on, you said. Why won't it stop? Oh, yeah, of course I want to reset. Oh. And it's still going. Oh, I know what I've done. I've actually got the wrong patch set, haven't I? So, well, I've even got the wrong tab as well now. So those are the recent ones, and what we should have been having was that one. Right, now what that's all about is Yashimi trying to protect you as much as it can without getting in the way. Now I did all those panic type changes, stopping and starting, and you didn't hear a single click. There's also isn't a single X-run either. Yashimi these days is very stable in that respect. It can handle an awful lot of rubbish thrown at it from the user and still carry on regardless. And it picked up immediately when it did have the right stuff. All the patches came in, they came in at their right levels, and you got the music. So that's the first lesson which I wanted to sort of really drive in. It will try and help you as much as it can, but it won't get in your way. If you actually say, yes, I do want to do this, it'll let you do it. The next thing I want to show is, you got a situation, someone once said to me that, you should always recognize incoming MIDI, even if you can't use it, you should hold on to it and then push it in as and when it's possible. Well, no. The answer is, you don't do that, you can't do that. And the reason is that you could end up piling up a huge amount of MIDI data, which is then completely redundant. And the way I'm going to demonstrate that in particular is, if leaving that still on that line there, if on this one, which is currently on steel bass, if instead I try loading a particular instrument, that one there, now, that's going to take a little while, that is, and we'll see the time come up. In the meantime, that channel's still perfectly okay, but there could have been data coming through on channel 2, because I might again have Rose Garden still running. Oh, right. Okay, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Okie dokie. Do you want some sound coming through?
Yes, please.
Okay. And that has now actually eventually decided to get on. And that was 24 seconds. Now, can you imagine what would happen if you suddenly got a burst of 24 seconds worth of data coming through on there? You can't do it. You've got to get rid of it. And what makes it worse is that actually isn't a particularly nice sounding sound anyway. It's just, well, it says heavy rain, it's a noise band. But so that's the reason why you cannot afford to retain any incoming MIDI if your part is not actually available. The same is true if there are occasions when the entire synth engine gets disconnected, and those, again, if it's any MIDI or any other data coming through, it just gets ignored. But right. The other thing I want to go through, I've been through it before, but there's a lot of water gone under the bridge and people tend to forget it. And I know that because I see people using Ishimi and they completely miss this point. We're used to opening a window like that, and then we'll open the maybe the banks window, groups window. You've now got three windows. You've got two more than you actually need. Because what you can do is you can close that through that means, which goes back just only to the main screen, because that's where you started. Or you can start here, say, and you can open that one, closing that at the same time. You can then say, well, I want that collection, closing that one at the same time, and it should be, oh, beg your pardon, I've hit the wrong button. Hit that one, closing the other one at the same time, and then you want to close that one because you want to go back to a different bank, so you close that there, and you're back to there, select that, go back, select that, and you can keep dodging backwards and forwards. It always remembers the last position you were. That's if you use the right hand button. If you use the left hand button, you're exactly as you were before. You'll have as many windows open as you open. Now this also works not only for the bank structure, but it also works for the engines. So if I go into add synth, right click on there, and it's also it also remembers a source, because I can now go through to the parameters in two ways. I can either go directly there with the show parameters, or I can go via the voice list. So if I go via the voice list and then go edit, I'm in the actual voice parameters. Again, if I right-click close, it opens the voice list. It doesn't go back anywhere else. If I close that with a right-click, again, I'm back to there. Or alternatively, if I had gone that way, I go like that and I go straight to the voice list. So that's, again, something which we've done over a period of time, and people seem to forget this. And it's all convenient. It's also to make things as easy for you as possible. Whilst we're in the AdSynth engine, we've made quite a few changes here as well. The first thing you'll notice is we've got these tabs along here now. Before, you used to have to go down here to select, and then you had to go up there to enable and disable, and you could never really see what your background situation was. You could only look at exactly what you had now. Whereas now you can see straight away that this highlighted one is the current one that we're looking at, but these two, because they're black, are also enabled. These other ones have not been enabled at all. If I go and click on there, then straight away that one is now highlighted. The controls have changed, and you're seeing that one. And that one is still identified as being enabled, but it's no longer the current one. So that's the first fairly recent, fairly major change we've made. Again, all aimed at making things easier for you to actually get where you want and know where you are as well. Coming down to here, if I go on to voice 2, you'll see this internal here. That's the same as it used to be, but now we change. We used to have just X1, which didn't really tell you anything. Because now it says voice 1. It tells you that it is voice 1 that you can select instead of that one. Well, voice 1 is very similar. At the same time, that waveform button changes colour, so you know you're no longer looking at the actual direct one for that voice. Again, this used to be the word change, which again isn't very sort of informative. Whereas now it's quite obvious what it is. It's the waveform. And again, if you click on that, you'll get your waveform as exactly as it used to be before. And once more, again, if you click with the right button, you close the previous window. And if you click its close icon with the right button, you reopen the other window. To some degree, this will try and remember the positions of the windows, but it doesn't always get it right. Moving on to the modulators, we made changes there as well. We've now got the word local. So I switch the modulator on, and you can have local or voice. Again, it used to be just X it used to have on there, but it now says it is the voice. So you're either using the voice or you're using the local oscillator. And the local oscillator, again, like the voices, can be either internal, it can be the, or it can be a previous modulator. So that could be the modulator from voice one. Just to sort of prove the point, I'll go back to voice one and we'll enable its modulator, hopefully. And we'll just change, again, its waveform, not just the word change. So I'll change that one and then go into voice two. See how quickly I can now move between the elements, which we couldn't do anything like so easily before. And if I now change the modulator to mob one, you can see it's actually changed the wave shape to match. So that, again, it's all aimed at making it as easy and obvious as possible for you guys. I'll actually close Rose Garden for the moment and try and remind myself where I am. Ah, see, I nearly forgot. We've got some new shortcuts. If I do a reset there, close everything off. Previously, you just had, you click on edit and it opens up that window. Whereas now, if provided Yoshimi already has focus, don't try and do this if someone else has got focus, because you'll get loads of characters put in. If I now hold down the A and click edit, it goes straight through to the AdSense engine. If I hold down the E and press edit, it goes straight to the effects for that part. And if I hold down the K key and hit edit, it goes to the kit editor. So you can now instantly go to those without having to go all the way through the normal high level edit. It has got a few little tricks up its sleeve as well. If I were to do the S like that, then it still goes to that main edit sort of central area. And that's because subsynth hasn't actually been enabled. It's not going to try and go to something which doesn't exist. However, if I do that with the right-hand mouse button, it goes straight there. And the reason it goes there is because it enables it first and then opens it. So if you know you definitely want to use subsynth, then you just use the right-hand button and you can go straight there and it will enable it. And if I close that off, and then go through the editor there. Oops. Sometimes it'll actually do the same trick again. There you can see subsynth is enabled. Useful if you're quickly working through voices. But in context, it's probably not terribly useful to someone that's just using as a live musician and just wants to play things, because they're not going to be doing a lot of editing. So workflow, information overload, that's why Yoshimi has always taken this low number of controls per window approach, and also consistency. Over a period of time we've tried to make Yoshimi behave in exactly the same way wherever you are at whatever level, hence with this business was using the right mouse button. Wherever you've got a cascade of windows, you'll always get that same type of behaviour. Right, moving on from that. People that were here last year will remember when I used the solo feature and I played a piece of music and I was dodging between parts. And that showed up two problems. The first was I was using a switch, a foot switch, which actually had quite a bit of bounce. I didn't realise it. And several times when I hit the switch, instead of jumping from just one part, it jumped two, or one time I think it jumped three. And so that was a problem. And what I've now done is there's a 60 millisecond debounce timer. And if there's another spike in within that time, it just ignores it. So you won't get that happen. And the other thing is, because it had jumped through, I was lost, because solo in loop mode will only move in one direction. So I couldn't actually go back. Whereas now there's a new mode, and if I load in the appropriate patch set, where is it? It's in here somewhere. That one there. Now you see that we've now got the, where we had the off row column and loop, we've now got two way as well. Now I haven't got those foot switches with me, but this highly modified, clever bit of kit has got two switches on top that can behave in exactly the same way as two foot switches would, and they're linked to exactly the same CC, continuous controller. And the way this works now is that if you send a value that's between 64 and 127, it will just step up one. If you send a value that's between 1 and 63, it'll step down one. If you send 0, which is the rest state of the switch, it'll ignore it. So if I now... Let's have a little bit more volume, shall we? Totally different sounds, but nicely overlapping. All the note tails are there exactly as they would be normally. And also it does some other interesting, quite interesting things. Because if I hold that key down and then go up there, and I can go down to there, and lift that. So these are more possibilities that you can now use quite dynamically, very smoothly, no sudden clicks, no sudden cut-offs or anything like that, all within there. And so now, my repertoire now, I have 16 parts, completely different, and they're instantly available. And as if you're playing live, if you're doing a gig and you've got some backing tracks or something like that running, and you want to do that, it's an absolute dream. It is perfectly reasonable. And if I move on a bit from there, here's an example of actually trying to do exactly that. I've got some one or two rather contrived examples coming up now, but they actually show off what is actually possible. So if I can find the right one. Oh, just another detail. All of these recent sets, they will always put the last used one at the top of the list. So if you've, that's the last one that we pulled up. So that's the first one that's going to be obviously visible to you. That applies to instruments, it applies to patch sets, it applies to states, scales, everything now works in that direction. So if I load that, and if I run Rose Garden, and also open that. Now if I've done this right, that's running a nice little arpeggio there, but none of these are changing. And I can do this. So what's going on there. Well, what's going on is this is in two-way mode again, and all these are using channel 2. Well, what you didn't see was rows 2 is using parts 18 to 21, and they're all using the standard channel numbers 2, 3, 4 and 5. Because the first row is all on channel 1, there'll be no conflict. Those parts there are running quite happily, making no impression whatsoever on that. And then I'm doing that. So, you can now genuinely be a one-man band, because you can set up a complete backing part using those parts there, and you've got the only one you can't use is channel 1, because channel 1's going to be on the selectable one. So you've got 15 channels rather than 16 that you can use to build up your backing track on and still have unique control on your first row. So there you go. And that is a fairly recent thing, we've had. Again, it's all aimed at the live musician who's going to want to do this sort of thing and doesn't want to have multiple this, that and the other. It's all there, and it's all saved in a patch set, a single patch set. Now, a slightly more contrived way of doing that, I'm actually going to do a reset now because I'm not quite sure what would happen otherwise. A slightly more contrived way of doing that is showing up the way the column mode can be used for automation. So if I now go to ARPS 2 and load in ARPS 2 here, if you get the thing where you're looking at something, you just don't see it at all. There it is. Right, now we've got something quite different here, because if you look, you can see there's a vibraphone in there, and there's that on part one, and part one is there. It's only a single channel this time, but it's there. And if I now run it, just the vibraphone. No, we've got the other bits as well. This is because what's happening now, it's using channel switching for the accompaniment, and it's switching through the columns, or a column at the end, rather than through the row. Vertically, yeah. And now, in actual fact, there's a slight, it's not an issue, but the and that's how fast it can go and still keep up. But the GUI can't keep up. Got no chance, they just go. So there you are. That's a second way you can do almost exactly the same thing. As I said, it's a bit contrived, but you might want to have that sort of facility available, especially seeing as it is possible to make access to the other parts in various ways. For example, with vector control, you can do that. So now to do the next one, I've actually got to close everything down briefly, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to change the configuration file. I've just actually switched out the configuration file in Ashimi. There's a new mode of operation with state control. I'm also going to have to push that up to 256 because I'm going to be using the inbuilt audio, and that's nowhere near as good as the KA6. So we'll restart that, and I'll start Yoshimi in exactly the same way as I did before. And lo and behold, it hasn't done what it should have done, which is rather sad. And the question is, why hasn't it? It should have. Let's make sure I have actually done that. I'll actually close that as well first. No, it hasn't done that, so why hasn't it done that? Possibly because I failed to. Let's try again. No, still hasn't done that. I'm going to have to mess about with settings a bit here now, because somehow or other I seem to have broken it. Start with a full state, auto enable. That's what should have happened. There's a new feature now whereby you can auto-open multiple instances. If you save your Shimi with various instances open and the auto instance is set, then the next time you open your the main Shimi instance, it will open any others that it saw that were open at the time. And that has a number of very interesting capabilities. The first is that any instance can have a default state. So if the default state is set, then that will be loaded. So you can now, on a single click, you can end up with two or three or four individual instances, all with their own setups, which can be totally different. And the way I'm demonstrating that on this particular case is that with Rose Garden, I'm going to open yet a new variation of the same thing, and I'm also going to make sure that I have that connected and that I have the audio connected. And now we'll try running it. And there's our background that we're by now getting absolutely fed up with. And it's in instance one. If I'm going to play on instance zero. So now we have the same thing. We have a backing set, and these could now have the full 16. Or whatever you like. At the same time, I've got my post horn again, which is one of my favourite sounds these days, and it's got all its full controls, it's got its own, again, 16 parts that it could have, and it could also have the same two-way control, so I could actually have varying different sounds at the same time. Now, what's even more interesting about that is that I'm using two different audio routes now. I'm using the internal sound card and I'm using the KA6. One is going to Yoshimi, the main Yoshimi is going to one and the slave one is going to the other. So you can now have multiple sound cards, you can identify them and you can pick them up and then you can mix them in the audio domain. I'm actually mixing them in the KA6 itself. That's what these two here are. They're coming out of the audio from there and straight into there, and then they're looping around and then they're coming back again through Jack, and then they're eventually going back to there and out to the system. So that's quite a circuit that it's doing. And to prove the point that the way it works, if I now close that first, I won't save the setting. That's another thing. Again, before you do things, it might be risky. It'll tell you that there may be issues with it. And if I now close Yoshimi, the main instance, and if I again reopen it, because it didn't see the other one when it was closed, it didn't open it when it was reopened. Just again to make absolutely certain that everything is as it should be. If I start the instance and then do this exactly the same again, close it, reopen, both instances come up. Right, now then, let's try and put everything back as it was, which could be interesting. Go back to that. This laptop, it's quite fast for general purpose, but for audio is actually pretty poor, which means I've got to run at 128 frames. At home, I normally run at either 64 or 32 frames. So your machine is getting pretty nippy these days. And I've got to go back to the normal config file. And then I should find that... might help if I double-clicked it. Nope. It looks as though those transfers aren't operating anymore for some reason. So let's manually reset these. Go back into settings and we'll disable start with default state and we'll disable auto instance. We did this some time ago. We moved all the off-on switches into a single tab on the settings. It makes it tidier and we've got then that sort of external other settings there and such like. And I think that actually brings me up onto the next point. For a long time, Legato had a rather weird situation in that if you pressed one note and you were in Legato mode, and if you then pressed a second note, which should just switch over, if you accidentally hit two at the same time, sometimes you'd get a note, sometimes you get silence. But either way, if you were, as long as you were holding one note, you would alternately get note and silence, note and silence, which was really weird. And the reason that was happening is that in Legato mode, there's a very, very rapid fade over from one note to the next to get the smoothness. Now, if you manage to get another note in within that time where it's halfway through a fade, it doesn't know what to do. And that's what was causing the problem. So what we do now is we assume that the first one it sees within that frame is the one that you're going to use, and the other one was an accident. Now, most of the time that'll be right, because you'll be fractionally earlier, one would hope, on the note that you wanted to hit. Occasionally, it will be the wrong one. But then you would have been wrong anyway if you weren't using Legato, you'd have had two notes. And also, as we're musicians, what we would do is we'd quickly pretend that was exactly what we wanted, and we would then roll over to the note that we wanted. And nobody would be any the wiser. They'd think it was just a blue note that we threw in. So let's have a look at Legato a bit anyway. And I've got nothing going because I haven't actually got it connected, I think. It does help if you actually start it. I've noticed that. It's done that again. Go away. That's because I made the settings changes, but I didn't actually save them. And it does help. Yeah, it does help if you actually save the settings. And then, that's it. Right, now then, let's load in any fairly straightforward sound. Another one of my favourites. And we're going to Legato mode. And we haven't connected the keyboard. Right. We're still not here. Why are we not hearing anything? Yeah, MIDI's coming. Where's the audio gone? I can only guess that we've not got the setting correct. No, we haven't. We're not sending the audio to Jack. Which was... that's a bit silly, that. We should send it to Jack. I'm going to use that one, actually. Right. Go back to server. And we still haven't got it. Why haven't we got it this time? Ah, wonderful. Now, go on to Legato mode. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But there is a problem. Kit edit. Drum mode. And what's happening now? We're back on poly mode. You can't have drum mode and legato at the same time. And previously there was no indication of that. And if you loaded a part that had drum mode and you didn't realise it, and you tried to use legato, it would appear to set it, but it wouldn't work, and you wouldn't know why. Whereas now you will know why, because it's turned red. And as soon as I clear drum mode, it goes back to that. And you're back in legato mode again. Now this is also true if you use a legato foot switch. Now I haven't got one, unfortunately, so I can't prove the point. But these days, if you use legato foot switch and you're, say, in poly mode, it will actually say it's in legato mode, and it will also again respond if the drum mode is set. It won't actually go and it'll turn red, so it knows you've tried to go to legato mode, but it won't actually do it. And then when you lift off the foot switch, it'll go back to whatever mode it previously was, in this case poly mode. So that's, again, more protection for you, and also, importantly, information, because there's nothing worse when you're, again, particularly if you're doing live work, when something happens to you not expecting you and you have no idea why. That's when the panic sets in. Well, not now, because you will know why, and you'll be, again, being an experienced musician, you'll find some way of talking yourself out of it. But you can't do that if you don't know what the problem is. Right. Another thing that's come up before was crossfade. I can't remember who it was first asked. It's actually been asked for several times. And then my first response was, well, you can't be doing that. It's impossible. There's so many parts. There's so many options that you could have. It'd be a nightmare. But then it eventually dawned on me that the answer was, you don't actually try and crossfade everything. You work in pairs. So again, we'll do a reset first to clear out everything there. And we'll then go into kit edit. And I should have done the shortcut as well, which I didn't. And we'll go straight to crossfade mode. And we've got our simple sound here, which is straightforward at the moment. But if you go down the keyboard, which I can't very well because there isn't much down on that keyboard, It loses its effect rather. So what I'll do here is I'll still use the AdSynth engine, and see, I'm using the right button, so I'm not seeing it. And instead, I'll use the power waveform, which most people would regard as a saw waveform, and we've now got mixture of the two there. So the next step now is to say, right, well, I don't actually want them having the full range. I want to morph from one to the other. So first of all, we'll set the maximum level for the part two, and we'll set that to there. Notice I've done the last note key set, and I've actually set it to that now. I just wanted it slightly higher. And for part one, what I'm going to do is set the minimum note. So now, and it's a fairly smooth, but you can go further than that. Both of these are set to FX1, but no FX have been set. I'm going to change that one to FX2, and then on this one, let's do it properly this time. Bring up the edit window. I'm going to set that to reverb, because actually the basic simple sound sounds very nice with reverb on it. But then as you go down there, you lose the reverb as well, because a saw wave with reverb tends to sound rather muddy. But what I'm actually going to do now is I'm actually going to put another effect on there. And I'll go for phaser, and we'll say phaser 6. again, that gets lost as it goes up. So you've got that there. So, is that the end of the story? No, it's not. Because if I now mute that, I'll get that fade down, but nothing comes in its place, but it still does the fade. So if you want a note to fade out as you go up the pitch, you can do that. So you might want to get it so it doesn't fade up completely, but it's nearly fading out as you're getting to the top of the register that you want to use. Or alternatively, for the other one, you might want it to fade out at low pitches. So you reduce the amplitude as you go down in pitch. And as an example, yeah?
If they halfway fade it out, they still use the same velocity.
Yes, yeah.
No,
it changes the velocity, I beg your pardon. Yeah. It actually gives each of the parts, if you're exactly halfway, each of the parts will have half of the velocity. So if you're making use of velocity in effects and such like, in envelopes, such, it will affect that, so you need to be aware of that. But I've also got an example here somewhere, recent instruments again, you see. That was the one I used previously, remember, that heavy rain? It was very slow to come in. So now this time I'm going to use that. And we're going to have a look at that. I've actually got three parts now. Because what I've added here is I had a bit of pad synth, and that has no limits on its range. It goes the full range. So you can mix and match. You can have two parts cross-fading, but a third one... totally different combined sound. Any pairs of parts that have the full range, there's no crossfade at all. Both of them will sound at full level. So the crossfade only works on a pair. It only works if there is actually a crossover range, and it doesn't affect anything else. So I could have an individual part there. I could put another individual part there if I wanted to, and it'd be completely unaffected by anything else. It takes, like everything, it takes time to really understand what you can do with it, but it actually gets quite interesting. Again, this keyboard's too small to really give an idea. You can actually have a sort of split crossfade. You could have one pair crossing over and then saying halfway up the scale, both of them finishing, and then another pair starting off from there, and you could effectively get a morph over several different apparent sounds. And if the overlap point, the middle point, has one instrument that's the same on both sides of that middle point, you'll get a smooth transition right the way across. So you can actually have a transition from the lowest note to the highest note over four or five different, completely different sounds. And you can have up to three different envelopes, three different effects on there as well. So it is a very powerful feature. So use it, it's there. Another point, Scala. Originally, Yoshimi and Zin 2.2.1 was not actually properly Scala compatible. It didn't completely and correctly load in import Scala files. And also, it made a mess of ratio scales. Now, if I give an example of that, give me some scales. That one there. Now, this is a ratio representation of the even-tempered scale. It's fairly accurate. A very highly trained musician might recognize differences, but the average person wouldn't be able to hear any errors. Still got crossfade on there at the moment. We'll take that off shortly. That's pretty close, if not spot on. And I think I've lost that. Let's try that again. Let me show the settings. It's pretty much, if I disable the microtonals, it is the standard one. It sounds, as far as I can tell, it sounds the same. Previously, these lower numbers would have been correct, but these ones here would have been quite wrong, because they're outside the range of a one char, one character, and that's what they were using, which was wrong, obviously. I was supposed to use the full range of integers, right the way up to, 200,000, something or other. Another thing is, most musicians know absolutely nothing at all about floating point numbers. They don't want to. But if I now clear that and start again, show settings and enable them. When you first start up, you get nice, even ascent increments, and it all looks nice and tidy. Now, previously, if you saved that and then reloaded, you'd get there, for instance, you get 199.99876 or something like that. And to a non-techie like us, you go, well, that wasn't what I set, it's changed. Why has it changed? Well, in real terms, it hasn't changed. You're not going to, it's a floating point number which you can't perfectly represent in decimal notation. But now we do a little bit of subterfuge. If I change that to that, retune it and save it. We'll actually save it to a previous version of exactly the same thing. Save it. Again, notice how it's warning me that that file was already there. Do I want to overwrite it? And we'll do a complete reset to prove that we really have cleared it out. And we will then reload it. Recent scales. Oh, look, there you are. That's the new scale, the one we just used. And look in there. Alarm hold, it's showing 201, which it wouldn't have done before. It would have shown 20099, whatever. That's because now we also save the text representation that was set, not only the floating point number. And when we reload it, we reload the floating point number into the subsystem, but we load the text back into the GUI. And we do the same for the command line, because this is supported by the command line as well. You put in that number in the command line and you will get that number back. It's a bit of subterfuge, but it keeps people happy, and it means that people don't think there's something wrong when there isn't actually anything wrong anyway. So that's that. Oh yeah, you can import both the Scala image. You can also import a different keyboard map as well. That's particularly useful if you're doing things like pentatonic scales. So you'll only have 5 active keys. I was saying to Albert earlier, it's virtually impossible to play something that doesn't sound nice on a pentatonic scale. But there you go. Right, moving on from there. New instrument format. Now, we don't want to change the standard format for the instrument files. The XIZ files, as far as I'm concerned, are sacrosanct, because those are the ones that people are used to. Whatever defects they may have, people are used to them. They like them. They like them as they are. They don't want them to change. So we're not going to add anything that will change them. But at the same time, there is demand for changes to be made. So what we came up with the idea was a new format for the instruments, which contains all the existing material, but also includes things like all the controllers, the mode, poly mode, and all the rest of it, some of these settings as well, which up till now have been the part. So, and yet all of these will have a dramatic effect on the actual sound. And it also includes this humanized element as well, which again was previously only part of a patch set. So all that now is in the new format. And to differentiate between the two, the new format is has its suffix as XIY rather than XIZ. When saving and loading, when saving you can have either format, you can stick to the old format, you can have the new format, or you can have both. So you can actually save both. When you load, if both are available, it'll choose the new format. If you have it set for the legacy format, then when you save, it will only save the legacy format. It'll convert as much of the new format that is convertible to the legacy format, and it will save it as that. Now, as well as including all these extra part elements, in future we're going to slowly convert almost all the settings to floating point numbers rather than chars. This will give you much better resolution for filters and things like that. But again, what we'll do is, if you're saving it to the legacy format, it will convert that number back into the closest char representation that it can manage, so that that backward compatibility will remain there. Now, what I should have here somewhere is I've got an element there, Prophecy. That's the standard format there, and that's sort of. Format. The first thing, it's a different colour, so you can see it's different, and it's now switched on portamento, and it's also slightly detuned. This is a very bad trombone player. So there you are, and again, you look in there, you see I've put the humanized right up there. It's much higher than I think anyone would ever want to have it. But it makes the point. And there is one sort of curiosity. I'm not sure whether we should keep it or not. If you have, if you've loaded something that is in the legacy format, but Yoshimi setting is for, if I go look at the settings, if it's set for just Yoshimi format and then you save it, you will lose the legacy version. You'll only have the new format. If it's both, then both will be stored back. But if it's just one or the other, you'll lose whatever format that you haven't got when you save. It won't make a difference to loading, but it will to saving. Now, I don't know if we should do that or we should allow the two to still remain there or not. It's not a significant issue with external saving of files, but it is with banks, because you can effectively double the size of a bank simply by having them all saved as both. And of course the new format will be totally unrecognized by either the older versions of Yoshimi or by Zin, because Zin doesn't carry this feature at all. So I'm undecided. I'm actually looking for people to come back at me at some point and say what they prefer, what they think is the best thing. Always looking for protection of the users on these sort of things. But we'll leave that for now. Oh yes, there's a little comparison point I want to make there. If you say you think about a tin whistle. Now, a tin whistle from a technical point of view is a very bad piece of design. If you blow too hard, it starts to squeak. But it didn't take long for musicians to realize that actually it has quite a nice character. And they also very, very quickly realise that if you blow hard enough, it goes up an octave. And so you've now gained a 3-octave range on some of the notes. If you now were to produce a perfect tin whistle that didn't do that, they would not be very happy. And I've got an example of a similar situation here. If you remember the old Hammond organ, I did a representation of a Hammond organ a long time ago, and it was a fairly primitive one. Not bad. Look, I've still got the portamento on, I think, yeah. And also the rest of it. Let's do a reset on that. And go back to there again. It's not bad. But can anyone tell me what's missing from that? There is something missing which a Hammond player would jump on straight away. No, that's wrong. And it's only noticeable at the higher notes. I'll show you by actually using a new version of the B3. Key clicks. Which you don't get at the lower pitches, but you do on these top notes. And any Hammond player would pick up on that straight away. No, it's wrong. But key clicks, when you think about it, that's not right. They shouldn't be there, should they? But now people have come to recognise that as the Hammond sound. So you don't correct it and get rid of them, because you're going to have an awful lot of very angry musicians. So you leave it alone. Right. Reorganisation, personalising of banks. Oh, what an exciting topic. You have a question? Quite simply by some rather noisy bits of subsynth with a very short attack and decay.
Same way I did my hi-hats.
Yeah. It's sneaky, but it works. Right. If I go to banks, we have two new buttons there, import and export. Now, up till now, if you've wanted to import a whole bank, it's very error prone. You've actually got to find in the normal file system the bank that you want to import. You mustn't have Yoshimi running at the time. You must find the bank that you within the Yoshimi structure that you want to import to, and then when you import it, Yoshimi will see a new bank, and it may reorder some of the others, depending on where it is and what number it has and what name it has. This is not ideal. Similarly, if you've got a bank which is one that you put together and you'd like to push it out to elsewhere and you wanted everyone to have a copy of it, you had to hunt through to find it and then manually copy it out. Not anymore. Let us take that bank there, because it's a bank I know, I should know it by now, and I'm going to export it, and I'm going to export it to, where should we export it to? I'm going to try and export it to there. Can't overwrite an existing, it will not ever overwrite an existing directory. It will refuse point blank. So let's try again to export it, and this time we'll export it. That's the one we want to export, and we will call it new bank. And it tells you what it's done. It's copied out 63 files. It creates the directory within the directory that you were in. And it copies out all the banks, and it also copies out the bank ID files. The dot file, yeah. There's a dot bank file, and it copies that out as well, which means next time it's used, it will initialize faster, because it recognizes, it knows straight away it is a bank. So we close that. Now, if I want to import it again, we'll import, and we'll try to import it there. And where was it? New bank. Nope. Bank slot 90 already contains, and it tells you what it already contains, so obviously it's not going to go there. So instead we will now say, okay we'll give up, we'll import it there. And new bank, import it there, and there it is. And if there's any doubt whatsoever, there was the original, and there's the new one. I don't notice any difference. So you can import and export whole banks. One way this is also particularly useful is that the default set of banks that are in the USR directory can't be written to, but they can be read. So what you do is you select one of those and then export it to your home directory, and then you can import it into a new bank, or a new root structure in your home directory, so it is now is an editable form. But the original is now safely tucked away and can be forgotten about. And you'll notice also that importing that had no effect on any existing banks, which is again most important, particularly from the point of view of the MIDI numbering. You don't want the risk of existing files, which are all using the MIDI numbers for banks, to suddenly change. So it takes care of that. Now, a related issue is that it's always been possible to swap banks within a bank root. So I mean, I can swap that one with that one, no problem. I can swap them back again. That one, swap back again. I can swap that into there. I can move it about. It's now a lot better than that. Because now what I can also do is I can do that as the first selection. I can then change to that root there, and I can swap it to there. Well, you should be able to do that. I don't know why that failed, quite honestly. It should have gone in there. It had actually moved it across, but it's moved it to the wrong slot, but it's moved it to a safe one. Where there are unwritable areas, it will never lose what you're trying to swap. It might put it in the wrong place, but it won't actually lose it. As I said, that should have gone without any troubles. I don't know why it didn't. And that's slightly frustrating. I'd have to investigate that. There's a similar situation with instruments. First of all, banks can actually be swapped with other banks as well as just into empty slots. Actually, let's try that, see if that goes a bit better. Change to... wait a minute. I think I might have been in that bank there, in which case it wouldn't have been able to swap because it's a closed bank. All right, there's another thing here. It won't swap in if they've got the same name, because there's a copy of it still there. So if I try and put it in there, failed, no, new bank already exists. Right, okay, so let's go try and swap that. Right. I'll swap that with that. No, it's still... I don't know, I'd have to investigate that. That should have been working. It was working yesterday, as is always the case. Instruments. You can swap instruments into empty slots. You can't swap them with other instruments. The reason for that is the instrument structure is actually quite complex, and I need to actually reorganise that and improve it. So we go to a different bank, we'll go, I am selected for swapping it actually, swap bells into that bank, and it's gone in there. That's what will happen. You should be able to move quite freely between them, provided they are all in writable areas. I'll have to investigate why that didn't work on that occasion, because it did yesterday, which is most annoying. Right, let's clear out again. Right. We've actually got... How much time have we got now? I've lost track of time. I didn't actually set the clock. Oh, right. Oh, it's a bit more time than I thought we'd have by now. So I've actually misjudged slightly. Right. One thing I also want to highlight is that you hear people talk about, oh, they've composed this piece of music and it uses 20 tracks, and they're very proud of the fact that it's 20 tracks. Well, I'm not impressed with that. If someone says they've composed this fantastic piece of music in 2 tracks, I'm impressed with that. And Yoshimi will help you in that respect, because people underestimate what an individual instrument can do. So I've got a little demo here of something which I composed a while back, and it uses surprisingly little. So let's pull it up. I'm not going to play the whole part of the thing, because it's fairly long. There's that one, and in Rose Garden, this is... Right, now previously, when I thought I was going to have a small screen, I was going to push this down so that you wouldn't see how many parts were there, but this is going to actually slightly spoil it somewhat. But I will very quickly do that, so you've only got a brief idea. Right, and this is what? Right, now I'll let you see what was going on. As you can see, there are only actually 4 parts involved. And you might have just quickly spotted a movement there. We use automation in it. And I'm starting at that point there. And the first thing that happens... See, it's just a single part. When fast space voice comes in, see the panning. And again, we show you what's happening. You'll see the controls are actually moving, so you know exactly what's going on. So now we're just using three parts. The fourth one now comes in. Slow fade up. At the same time, the ghost ensemble fades down. And we're still moving the panning of the fast bass voice. Now the particularly interesting thing here is this last part now is entirely the single instrument. That is all one instrument and it sounds totally different at the lower registers. And that's the power of this synth, basically. It's not me being clever, it's Yoshimi being clever. And then because I like to keep things nice and tidy at the very end, I leave all the controls back as I started. Like that.
Question. Is the change in gravity? Can you see it in a gravity?
We don't have a graphic representation of those particular controls.
We don't have a
car. Oh, in Rose Garden, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you can see that in there. No, it's not, no, there are no stupid questions. There are some very stupid answers, but there are no stupid questions. Right, let's go back, where are we? Oh, it's actually already gone back to the start, that's why. Because I started halfway along, let's move forward. To there. Oh no, it's segment. No, it isn't. I keep forgetting with Rose Garden. Yes, the thing is, again, I closed a lot of the of Rose Garden's windows and sections because I thought I was going to have a very compressed screen, so. I closed everything down. This is not the way I normally have Rose Garden configured, so I've now quite...
Did you set up that fade? Did you draw the curve in Rose Garden, or did you record the
Half and half. What I tend to do is I tend to record the automation, realise it's not really quite right, and then edit it and shift it a bit afterwards. But I always start with real operations, real playing, and make corrections. I try and do it as correct as I can initially without making corrections because I don't want to lose that ability. But I will make corrections. Usually it's a case of I've hit two notes at the same time and I want to get rid of the wrong one. And sometimes what was the wrong one actually turns out to be the right one and I get rid of the other ones. That now covered just about everything that I essentially wanted to cover, but there are some extras in here which I also had, which again I was going to keep tucked away out of sight. Well, let's close that for a moment, and that, which was part of my original. Yes, you can. What you mean? What, as I was doing menu, yes, you can do that via NRPNs.
Yeah,
yeah,
an example for that, because that's.
I haven't.
It's a little bit too much to show.
It's a fair amount of setting up initially, but once it's set up. Oh yes, because yeah, you can send an NRPN to tell any channel. You can set it to either.
Basically, you could start with the first time, Yoshimi?
Yes, oh yeah.
And then fill it in from the MIDI file. Yeah.
Hang on, wait a minute. I might actually have a...
So, I repeat the question for the video. The question is, can you actually start with
the first time instance of Yoshimi
and just fill in every
binary data and instrument set up from the MIFI?
Yes, you can. And I may have an example. I'm not sure if I have or not.
Further questions?
Yep, if further questions, while I'm actually trying to find this, we'll have a look.
It works, yeah?
No, you don't hear it. It's called camera.
Oh, yeah, okay. I have a very basic question. So right now, basically, I have Yoshimi and Zin on my computer. Mm-hmm. So how do I choose which one to use? Like, what's the difference there?
It's purely a personal choice for you. It's nothing. I will not try and say that Yoshimi is better or worse than Zin. The two use the same instrument format, but apart from that, they're moving in different directions.
Can you maybe talk about like just the direction you're moving in, just so that
we're moving principally towards live musicians playing. We're looking at people that have physical disabilities, and we're looking all along, purely along. And also that aspect that some people, like myself, can't handle large amounts of information all at once. We like this format where you have a simple window. A live musician, most of the time, they only need to see that window. They don't need to see anything else. Because they're going to be playing. They might, if they're getting a bit more adventurous, they might want to see when it worked. Oh, well, because we're halfway through there. They might want to see that window. They might want to see that one. They certainly won't want to see any of the editors. Mm-hmm. So there's no point in showing them. This is only going to show them exactly what they want to see. It keeps it simple, and that's the way we're moving, more and more. Also, standardization. We're trying to get all the elements of this behaving in exactly the same way. Like I said right at the start, if you do a right click on any stacked window system, it'll always do the same thing. It'll close one window while it's opening the other. The other thing which I forgot to mention there as well, is if you use the close icons rather than the system closes, it will also store the position that window was at. And mostly, it will then reopen at the same place. Some window managers don't play nice. This one, the XSCE, doesn't sometimes. And sometimes it will decide that you can't open the window with it overlapping the edge. You've got to open it within the visible area, and it will then reposition. Something like OpenBox doesn't do that. And if you want to open a window half obscured, you can do. So that's outside our control. Right, now we were trying to see if I could find... let's look through the file system. This is a... If you throw me a bit of a curve ball here, as usual, I know back at home I do have exactly what demonstrates this perfectly. And I did actually show it one year as well, here. It might be here. Various demonstration pieces inside here. Doesn't look like it. It might be in... This is mostly a copy of what I've got at home, but it's not an identical copy. So let's look for... where are we? In there, and I'm looking for, what am I looking for? That one. No, it doesn't look as though I've got it here, which is a great shame. The other possibility is going to be the very long one, which is... just back here is Ride with Yoshimi. there. Ah, I've got it as a rose garden file, I think. And this one will do it, but I did have a plain MIDI file, but we'll clear that. Clear everything out of there and load that into Rose Garden. Oops, hopefully that will pick that up. And yes. I think it was the year before last, I actually. And that's all being handled by MIDI CCs. Bank and route changes come up as they do so. I've got to remember where the changes come now. See, it keeps you up again, you always know what it's doing. And you can see that now the drums are highlighted, that's the last change that was made. You can see the proof that this was live played as well, with all these pressure messages coming through. You can't fake those. It was played on a keyboard that had aftertouch. That's a nice pair of speakers that they got here, isn't it? Can I take them home with me? Now the next part coming up from here, if there are any X runs, this is where they're going to come, because it's really working. Let's see what Jack has to say about it. Very stabby note on events taking place. It's Well, actually, I'm surprised. I wasn't expecting to get through that, not on this machine. Also, by now, we're actually overwriting existing parts as well. We're loading new parts up to top of old ones. There are actually a total of 32 instruments used in this, because it was originally a two-instance demonstration piece, and it used all. The idea was to use all the possible parts. And this section has now also been split out as a separate entity in itself as well, because a number of people said, oh, I like it a lot, but I like the last part most of all. Is it possible to, or do you mind if I, I thought, well, customer's always right, give them what they want. There's one thing actually which I did change on here. One instrument will come up in a minute, which I actually had too low a level. So as soon as it comes up, I'm going to just nudge it up a bit. Also notice we're now using real terms on quite a lot of places, so that's a dB scale rather than 0 to 127. Still stored in exactly the same way, but it's now giving you usable terms. Any questions?
You've shown how to switch between different sounds by the key number, you've chosen. Is there something similar for velocities, so I can move between sounds by using a different pressure, not pressure, velocity, or striking a key harder?
No, that's never been considered. I don't actually know how that could be done. I know I can see what you're saying.
But yeah, from a musician's point of view, so yeah. I can just have control over. Wait a minute.
There's something which I haven't mentioned at all, and I should have done really. Let's do a quick reset.
So you mean in the way of a double touch?
I need to switch this slightly differently for a start and reinitialize it. With MIDI Learn, you can learn some of the controls which previously were not available, and these are real-time controls. Oh, we did get some X-runs when I closed down, I think. If I load in, where is it? If I load in Prophecy, and if I right-click on controllers, so we've got the MIDI controls. Now, that's the normal value. If I change the filter cutoff slightly, but that can now be MIDI learned. It can be MIDI learned as aftertouch, or it can be MIDI learned as a control value. Now, what I'm going to do is, if this is connected, connect that to that. At the moment, that should be affecting volume. It doesn't appear to be doing so. Oh no, of course it's an NRPN now. I've set it as an NRPN. If I now learn the filter cutoff with that, with the foot pedal, this is a bit sluggish because this little box here is a very sort of dodgy. It works, but it doesn't work very fast. But that's just the filter cutoff. Now also, what I can also do, on the same control, I can also learn modulation. So if I now do the same again on that, we've now got, NRPNs will normally block the following one, but we don't want that in this case. We want those both operating. And of course, I happen to have picked a particular sound that doesn't use modulation on it, so that won't affect it. Okay, we'll close that off. Again, we can remove these. Let's put them back to there and just delete that one. Okay, what about we'll learn expression instead? Did we pick that up? We did, but it's holding it at maximum all the time. I don't know why it shouldn't be. Oh, because we blocked it, that's why. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually turn this upside down, because I'm going to turn that to 100, and then the numbers are percentages, and that one to 0. So now the expression will go down as the cutoff goes up. And of course, I've made it go too far down. So what I'm now going to do is I'm going to take that to 50%. So you can build up those controls. Now, this is particularly aimed at people with breath controllers.
Yeah, my question goes more in the direction to really use the key velocity of a single note to select the sound, more or less. So if I have a single note with a struck hard, then I get a different sound than all the others without fiddling with the parameters or some curves within the sound.
No, that's a different ball game altogether. That would be extremely difficult.
Okay.
Extremely difficult.
So that was my question.
Running in that other mode where you can select between channels, it would be possible, but it would be expensive processor-wise. So I don't really see that as being an option, I'm afraid. But
maybe with the option to pre-process the MIDI, if you have some device in which pre-processes the MIDI messages.
That's possible. You can do things like QMIDI routes. Mm-hmm. And you can have a threshold value that would send a channel swap there. You could do that, yeah. That would work. That would take the pressure off Hashimi, then something else would have the problem.
Yeah, I just was interested in whether there are any possibility to influence the sound on a higher level by using different velocities.
I
have a question, but I'm, wie sagt man, ich schäme mich, diese Frage zu stellen. Wie sagt man? I'm ashamed to ask this question, because I tried sometimes in different ways, but I always failed. Can I play your shimmy on Mac?
Unfortunately, no. You can play it on BSD now, but not on Mac, because we just haven't implemented it for Mac. I personally only know Linux. I don't know any other operating system. We're a very, very small team, and as far as I know, none of the other people have any experience of programming on the Mac or on Windows. So unless someone comes along that has that kind of experience, it's not going to happen, I'm afraid. I'm not against it. I'll never use it myself because I'm a Linux man. But I've got no argument against other people wanting to use other operating systems. And if someone comes along that can do the necessary conversion, great. I'm quite happy with that.
Maybe some solution would be to go through a virtual machine.
That would probably work if you can get the latency. That's likely to be the most likely issue there, that the latency would go up. I mean, on this machine, I'm working at 128 at 48K, which is actually not too bad, really. I mean, what are we? That's 5.3 milliseconds, so it's not too bad, really. But at home, I go down to 64 and sometimes down to 32, which is just had that little extra snap to it. But as I say, what would happen if you were in a virtual machine? I've no idea. But,
thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? No. Fine. Great. Right. I'll tell you what I am going to do. If anybody wants to hang about, is now we've got a really nice speaker system for a short while. I'm going to play one of my most recent. This actually was composed a long time ago on hardware synthesizers, but I fairly recently converted it entirely to Yoshimi instruments, and I quite think it's pretty good. I could be wrong. Thank you. it's that fast space voice again. That's a pad synth, that strings. Now, coming up is an answer as to whether Yoshimi can do percussion or not. There you go. Thanks. Right, I suppose we better pack up now, really.